So, Eric, if you're anything like me, we're at the end of a very long day, the second day of the PSA conference, and we haven't had much for lunch, and you've been sitting in sessions all day.
Right.
But you had a really interesting session earlier on when you were kind of talking about kind of demographics of kind of changing conflict and so on. So what kind of research is it that you actually do?
Well, there's a new field emerging called political demography, which is really the politics of population change. So I've got a new edited book out on this subject that's really global. But what it's asking about is, to what extent do shifts in the composition of the population, say between Protestant and Catholic in Northern Ireland, or between Shia and Christian and Sunni in Lebanon, how much does that actually lead to violent conflict or not?
So you kind of told stories this morning. You had actually pictures of Northern Ireland and the constituencies, right, or counties or whatever up on the screen, and kind of changing colour in a sense as different either rates of change or just the orange density.
Yeah,
the point,
that's
which was
right.
A great
phrase.
And then you tell a story as to why it is the color or the shape it is.
Well, yeah, I was trying to basically draw a link between areas of Northern Ireland where the Protestant-Catholic balance was fine, like 50-50, or where Protestants might even have been in the minority. And if we go back to the sort of 50s and 60s, those were areas where unionists were most hardline, most opposed to giving up on some of the powers that Stormont had, and most opposed to reform on issues such as the franchise, such as housing, such as jobs. And what I tried to say is, well, we can almost trace a sort of several-step story in which you have the demographic fears of the West Ulster unionists feeding into very strong orange membership and mobilization, feeding into resistance. So they were putting pressure on the Unionist Party not to give in to reforms.
So this is kind of a multi-step process. Yeah. This is like the first one of the many dominoes that's pushing.
Right. So what I'm arguing is actually that demography matters and population change matters, which is actually, if you look at what Terence O'Neill was saying, that Protestants' greatest fear is that they'll be outbred. If you look at some of the narratives of many Protestants, they were expressing these fears of losing the demographic race. So that's a very real concern.
Are there difficulties with this approach, though, the granularity of the data? I guess you're taking census data and so on, which is quite, it's kind of 10-year chunks.
Yes.
Whereas politics moves practically every week.
Right.
And certainly
right.
much faster. So is there a difficulty aligning the two stories?
Oh, there is. There is, absolutely. And I wouldn't ever claim that demography is destiny in a way. I wouldn't claim that. I just claim that it matters a lot, and it does matter for conflict. Of course, in practice, you've got an interplay between what's actually happening on the ground demographically in terms of births, population shifts, and the way that that's being reported on and sometimes whipped up by politicians, or sometimes it's fading away. It's a combination of those factors, or they sometimes interact with other factors. So I said, you know, for example, in the Shankill and around the Ardoyne, there's a real concern in the Protestant community, which is declining, at the growth in the nationalist community there. So it's territory. It's about the way the Catholic growth manifests itself in street-by-street advance territorially, and that's what led to sort of provoked in a way, or at least fed into some of the loyalist paramilitary.
And some of that,
activities.
I guess, you can get anecdotally, since the census will not.
Right, exactly. But the other part of that is where, for example, the Catholic growth just happens in Catholic areas that are far from Unionist areas, there's no problem at all, because it's just a sort of growth that doesn't actually manifest itself territorially. I mean, it's not no problem at all for Unionists, but it's less of an issue, and it doesn't have an immediate kickback effect in terms of violence.
As an outsider,
with
your accent and
yes,
the fact you're across the water as well, what do you think of the fact that, is there a difference, is there a change going to happen in the future as... if you look at kind of the demography, the orange-green demography, by age range,
yes,
there are more Catholic school children than Protestant, if we're blunt, whereas at older ranges, it's the other way around. So as that kind of changes, do you think that's going to, will that have a political effect? Can you see some dominoes setting themselves up?
Well, I mean, it will have a political effect, I believe, anyway. However, the one thing about that demographic change is it is, you just said, you know, the school children, and those are all people who can't vote. So by the time we get to people, you know, by the time Northern Ireland's 40-somethings are 50 plus 1% Catholic, that's now at least we're going 20, 30, 40 years ahead into the future. So that's the first point. The other point, of course, is the fact that more and more Northern Catholics, as like Northern Protestants, are in some way claiming that they are neither, and you've got a significant group of nationalists who are not in favor of unity. So actually now we're starting to push that date for eventual, under the provisions of the Good Friday Agreement, voting in of a united Ireland. That's now being pushed towards the end of our century, and by that time there's so many wild cards that come into play. I mean, we just don't know what's going to happen.
Your book will be out of date. Right. Should provide you with the awesome material.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Eric Kaufman, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.